Hello, everyone, and welcome back to What's the Lesson, the go-to podcast for anyone looking to enhance their social-emotional learning toolkit. We're your hosts, Jill and Mary, and with each episode, we aim to empower parents, teachers, and mentors with actionable insights to support the children in their lives.
And in today's episode, we're thrilled to have Sarah Dooley joining us. Sarah's journey is a blend of education, personal growth, and creative expression. As a former K through 5 STEM teacher, Sarah used graphic design to help her students grasp complex concepts. What began as an educational aid blossomed into a 6-year journey of balancing teaching with her growing passion for design.
The turning point for Sarah came with an opportunity to join the Get Your Teach On team, an organization that deeply aligns with our mission here at Girls Mentorship, as they work hard to prioritize the personal growth and emotional well-being of educators, recognizing the human as much as the teacher.
Like many dedicated educators, Sarah was heartbroken leaving the classroom, but taking the leap of faith made her realize she could have an even bigger impact by aligning her skills with an organization like Get Your Teach On.
Join us as Sarah shares her unique insights into the emotional journey of teaching, the shift to graphic design, and her current focus on enhancing educator well-being. Her story is a beacon for anyone looking to enrich their emotional toolbox and navigate the challenges of supporting and educating young minds.
Let's get into it.
Welcome to What's the Lesson, the podcast that takes you on a deep dive into the world of character development.
We're Jill and Mary, the dynamic duo behind Girls Mentorship.
We foster self-confidence, self-esteem, and self-awareness for tween and teen girls, along with their invaluable network of supporters through events, resources, and mentorship.
Picture us as your coaches, walking alongside you through the world of social-emotional learning, and think of this podcast as your own personal roadmap.
We'll support you in discovering obstacles that might be holding you back and gain clarity on why this work is a game changer, not only for your growth, but for the next generation of leaders as well.
Alongside our fantastic guests, we're here to share knowledge about how you can change old patterns of behavior and make sense of those WTF moments, shifting them into lessons that can drastically improve your life instead.
Whether you're an entrepreneur, a superhero stay-at-home mom, or someone fueled by boundless curiosity, our mission is crystal clear: to supercharge your emotional intelligence and sprinkle the magic of SEL into every corner of your life.
Okay, let's get into this. Cool. We are in a digital media world. So this relationship started, I think, like any good relationship starts lately, which is by seeing your vibrant, fun, colorful Instagram. And we were like, who is this girl? We definitely follow right away.
She's just like us.
fun, vibrant, yes. So getting to just see that firsthand, then getting into like your content and realizing that you have a very close tie, not just being a mom, but a very close tie to schools because you are a former school teacher. You work with or very closely to a teacher's organization. You do graphic design now, but we'll get into that a little bit later.
Yeah.
Take us back to your teacher days. What made you want to be a teacher, and what grade or grades did you teach in?
So I think the reason that I really was drawn to teaching was the lack of being seen that I experienced as a kid. Like, I felt very, like, I knew I wanted to be the teacher's pet. And I wanted to like be that go-to student all the time. But the reality was, like, I struggled. I struggled with reading. I had to get pull out services. And I think I just like had this moment in college. I was kind of going between psychology and education. And once I took one education class, I was like, okay, this is where I need to be. If anything, I think to just like heal that like inner child in me and just kind of like be that teacher that I felt I needed growing up. And like, I always played school. I loved everything about school as a kid. So it just felt right for me. And then just like, as I'm teaching, I'm like, okay, this is definitely where I'm supposed to be. Connecting with the kids, having relationships with the kids was like everything to me. That was my bread and butter. Like, that's what got me through the days. I started out teaching kindergarten. I taught that for 3 years. Most of my cycles have been in like 3 year cycles. I taught kindergarten for 3 years. I taught first grade for 3 years. And then I kind of resituated myself and I taught K-5 STEM for 3 years. And so that was the whole school. They came to me as I was a specials teacher. And that was where I truly felt most at home. And I was obsessed with it. I loved the job so much. I loved every aspect of it.
That's incredible. So were you in Vegas this whole time teaching?
Yep. I did everything a little bit backwards. I got pregnant with my daughter when I was 20. And so I had to like refigure out how I was going to be going to school and finish up school because I knew I wanted to finish and become a teacher. So I ended up going to the University of Phoenix to be able to finish my degree with a baby. And then I got pregnant right before I started student teaching, which was a great time. And then I was actually, my due date with my son was on my very first day of teaching ever. I was on August 26th, and that was my first day of teaching a group of kindergartners. Like, it was, it was rough. I was just huge. And I was like, what is going to happen if my water breaks in the middle of my very first
day? In the middle of circle time.
Right. Like, I'm trying to like learn all this and then also about to have a baby. So, so it's been a challenge my whole life with balancing being a mom and being a teacher. And so just kind of always trying to juggle the two. And once I stepped out of teaching, I was able to kind of look back and see like I did not balance it all very well at all. And so as sad as it is, leaving the classroom was so great for my family and so great for me personally. Like, I'm a way better mom now. And I hate that. I hate saying that because there's so many amazing teachers out there that I just feel like are so tired.
I know. Oh, we're seeing it. It's funny what social media has done to give people voices. And this has likely, I mean, our moms were both teachers. Anybody who listens to this podcast knows that. My mom was a teacher for near 30 years. Jill's mom, probably about 20. And they struggled. Yeah. Their coworkers struggled. But what TikTok and platforms like TikTok and Instagram have done is give people a window of opportunity to see into people's careers. And it's like, wow, this is a new issue. It's not a new issue. Salaries have not been great. Workload has always been a lot. I think we're just getting to a point where it's like a precipice of a couple of things coming together in terms of just negative things. So teachers are burnt out, kids are on social media, which makes their attention span worse. Parents seem to be a little bit more lackadaisical. And I don't want to say all parents, so don't come at me. However, I'm assuming your statement there, like the balance was not great. You get to see hindsight's 2020. You are giving more to your students than your family. Is that correct?
That is so true. Like, I remember when I was at the height of my struggle. I was struggling with my husband. I was struggling with being a mom, and I sought out therapy. And I was in my very first session. I'm explaining like, being a teacher is so hard. Like, you have no idea how stressed I am, and blah blah blah. And she looked at me and she was like, being a teacher is so hard, but it's probably easier than being a mom. And I was like, no, You don't know what you're talking about. You have never had to manage 25 behaviors and 25 different learning styles and do all of that that comes with it. And then, you know, in the weeks after, I'm thinking about it, I'm like, she was totally right. Like, being a teacher was so much easier than being a mom and wife. And in the sense that, like, I could get validation from being a teacher. I could get the test scores. I got the hugs in the morning. I would get the messages from parents. Like, in that sense, like, I felt like all of my effort was like going somewhere and it was great. And it's all for the greater good and I'm making an impact. But yeah, like, being a mom and being a wife is so much harder because you don't get that kind of recognition. Like, you're in it 24/7. Like, there's no end of the school year where you can celebrate all of your accomplishments. Like,
right.
You're just in the thick of it all the time.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was easy for me to put my energy there.
Totally. So when you were in the thick of it, when you were starting to have these doubts or these questions as you were a teacher trying to figure out your balance, mm-hmm. were you exploring I'm just curious around like the graphic design piece. Like, mm-hmm. were you exploring like a little side hustle? Was that like a way mm-hmm. for you to escape both your responsibilities as a wife and mother and a teacher? Like, did you find a passion in doing something? Because I'm curious around where that popped into mm-hmm. the story.
The bridge.
Yeah.
Yep, the bridge. So when I've always been like a doodler. Always kind of had that path, never really seriously pursued art in that way. But when I was teaching first grade, maybe my last year of kindergarten, was where I really started getting into growth mindset and incorporating growth mindset in my classroom. And the more I got into it, like, it was all very new at that point. And I realized there weren't a ton of resources out there. Our school kind of adopted a lot of the growth mindset ideas. And so I started designing t-shirts for our school. I started making like brains and all the things for my classroom. And so that's kind of where I bought my iPad and the creativity just kind of started. And I loved being able to make things for my lessons, for my students. And so then it turned into growth mindset t-shirts. And I just really had such a passion for like having a shirt that matched my lesson. Like, we're talking about neuron connections today. And oh, my shirt has neuron connections on it. And so
that is such a teacher thing to say. Right? It's so great.
I am like, oh, just yeah. loving every second of this.
And so I loved that part of it. And, then it turned into a little business with my friend. She was like, hey, we should sell these shirts. Like, other teachers would love these shirts. We should sell these shirts. And the money that we get, we can go to this PD that we've been wanting to go to. And so we're like, cool.
For those of you listening, that means personal development.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not the police station. No, I'm teasing.
The police department. No.
And so then it became like a side hustle. And we ended up making more money than we ever could have imagined. And so then it became like a side business. And then with that, I got connected with the company I'm currently with, which is Get Your Teach On. And they had me doing some projects for them on the side. Got to, you know, get that money in somehow.
Right.
And then it turned into a full-time gig. They asked me, going on like a year and a half now ago, if I would be willing to join their team full time. And that was literally the hardest decision I've ever had to make in my entire life. And I was more so of the mindset of might as well try it. Like, the classroom will always be there. I can always go back to the classroom. Might as well give this a go. So
and I took a big mindset. Leap of faith. Yeah, that mindset I think is crucial because I love the question, like, what's the worst case scenario? And you're like, well, right. I'm in a job that I love, but I'm miserable. So you're already living the worst case scenario. Mm-hmm. So what happens if I take that leap of faith? okay, maybe you fail, but do you have a skill to fall back on? Yes, you could go back to a job that you really did love.
I loved it. Yeah.
And maybe the time away mm-hmm. clears your mindset mm-hmm. or helps you see things in a different yep. perspective, and you can go in asking different things or different questions. Who knows? However, a year and a half later, you're in a position where you're what appears to be from our perspective very much so enjoying your job. So mm-hmm. if my math serves me correctly, you said you started doodling, dabbling, creating Neuron t-shirts when you were mm-hmm. doing first grade, and that was mm-hmm. 3 years after pre-K. So did you side hustle for like, I don't know, around 6 years before yep. taking the leap of faith?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, it was a big journey. Yeah.
I think
that's incredible.
That's really important to notate too, yeah. because we obviously all have worked with kids here mm-hmm. and social media paints the picture of like 0 to 60 really quickly.
Oh, no,
like,
yeah, no. Mm-hmm.
Owning your own business is really exciting. Be an influencer. You can gain thousands of followers overnight and then mm-hmm. open up a TikTok shop and start raking in the dough. Mm-hmm. And you don't really – there are some people who are really great at showing the behind the scenes. I want to be careful in the all or nothing mentality. Mm-hmm. However, like we don't talk enough about the fact that it's a grind. And I know yep. people don't like that word. Hustle culture is dead. However, if you are striving to create something that helps you create a legacy or create more funds for your family, like it's going to be hard work. There are yeah. going to be sleepless nights. Yep. There are going to be weekends that you're not going to make your son's football game yep. or your daughter's soccer game. And there's mom guilt attached with that. Mm-hmm. And like what's your hard? Is your hard being in a job that you love but being miserable? Or is your hard being the mom that works two jobs for 6 years in order to create a life for their family that you absolutely – it's still hard, but that you absolutely love?
Right.
So
yeah.
6 years in a side hustle is a long time. And mm-hmm. I love that it created an opportunity for you to work with a larger organization.
Yeah.
Because I also feel like there is a misconception around impact. Impact is subjective. Mm-hmm. Do I feel like teachers should make more money? Hell yes, mm-hmm. I do. Without mm-hmm. a doubt, there's not an argument there.
Yep.
Is there the argument around should teachers make more money than professional athletes? Yes. However, the impact of professional athletes is bigger on a subjective scale mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. than the impact of a teacher, because a right. teacher works with 30 kids a right. year.
Yep.
Tom Brady, you turn on the TV and you see Tom Brady – mm-hmm. there's 5 million viewers in a game.
Impacting 30 million people in a night.
Right. So yep. you're now working with an organization, which I would love to hear more about exactly what Get Your Teach On does mm-hmm. that has more of an impact. Mm-hmm. They're able to reach more people. They're able to teach more teachers. Mm-hmm. Like watching them and what they do and who they bring in to move and inspire is just that, inspiring. So let's transition into your transition to working with them. So you dabbled your side hustle. Mm-hmm. They found you. You found mm-hmm. them. Mm-hmm. Will you talk a little bit more about that?
So it started with me volunteering for the conferences. Like I designed t-shirts for them. And then I would go and volunteer and help sell the t-shirts and just like be there and also get the PD while I'm there and like step in on sessions and came back to my classroom.
It was a win-win.
It was great. And I felt yeah. alive and rejuvenated. So it started with just the volunteering and then turned into more of like the side hustle with creating the graphics for their Instagram and more t-shirts for their boutique. And so then leaving the classroom, I guess the impact part of this, like leaving the classroom was the hardest thing I've ever done. I cried. I mourned, I grieved. Like it was truly the loss of something so significant in my life. Like right. I never could have anticipated my reaction to leaving. And then being in this new role and having to like rework the way that I thought about my impact. Because as a teacher, you're in the classroom and you see your impact every single day. And here alone in my office, making things, the impact is a lot more indirect. Mm-hmm. But my coworkers, the founders of Get Your Teach On, are constantly in schools They are constantly coming up with innovative new ideas to bring to the table for professional development for teachers. And I have to feel that impact there, which is, it's hard because sometimes I'm just like sad and alone, but
right.
knowing that the reach is so much greater and knowing that so many teachers feel empowered through Get Your Teach On has been, it's been a really cool experience. And so the founders of Get Your Teach On currently have a contract with the Indiana Department of Education. So they are constantly in classrooms helping teachers in Indiana. And so with that, I've been able to make certain things to help them too. So that's been really cool.
That's incredible. I was just going to like make the call out around identity, mm. how probably you felt like you wore being a teacher as part of your identity.
Oh, yeah.
And oh, yeah. when that label was removed after making this choice, mm-hmm. you now are sitting with the question of, well, who am I?
Right.
And I did get to see the impact with my littles. And now how do I know? How do I know mm-hmm. that this shirt is making the same impact but in a different way? Or mm-hmm. or whatever it is. But I love that you trusted the process because it yeah. also is very easy to quit
oh,
when
yeah.
times get hard mm-hmm. and when you're not in that place of recognition or that instant gratification, mm-hmm. it's so easy to be like, you know what? This isn't for me.
Yeah.
But if we go back to why you fell in love with teaching in the first place, a big piece of this is having a growth mindset.
Yeah, exactly.
And staying yeah. committed to the process, even when it's hard, is mm-hmm. so important.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that you have really had different evolutions of your identity
mm-hmm.
and that being a teacher is still in your veins. It's mm-hmm. in your blood. And it's so
yeah.
cool to see the path of where you started to where you are today, because I think that's a really important call out that you can make. I mean, I know that myself and I know Mary too, like we've had so many versions of ourselves mm-hmm. and we're constantly
yep.
refining and fine tuning and questioning, like, what are we doing and mm-hmm. who the hell are we?
Mm-hmm.
So I just really wanted to highlight that because I love that you trusted the process and you're still committed to the process now.
Well, and it gives so many other people permission, which is exactly why we do what we do, right? 16-year-old Mary was crying over God knows mm-hmm. what. 17-year-old Mary was crying over God knows what. Mm-hmm. That was 180 degrees different.
Mm-hmm.
Now at 35, I'm still crying over things and yeah. I know that it works out in the end.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
So you get to reach back. You get to put your hand back there and say, hey, I did this big scary thing and I felt this way and it felt mm-hmm. like it was ripping me apart and I didn't know what my emotional reaction was going to be. Like I knew that I would probably be sad, but you're right, it's mourning something.
Yeah.
So I was in a similar position. This year has been really difficult for me mentally because I worked in a gym setting. I was Fitness Mary. My freaking Instagram handle was Manicured Meathead. And that's how people knew me. They were like, Gym Mary, give me a training program. Am I doing this right? And I love how things naturally lead to other things, right?
Yeah.
I repeated myself for 8 classes a day. You walk people through goal setting and failure and you have these really tough conversations. I joke that I herded cats and that's really important because working with teenagers, you're herding cats.
Yeah.
But I've mourned it because yeah. you lose a community and, mm-hmm. you know, I get to work with my best friend and business partner, but I'm at home alone by myself yep. a lot of the time. And you're with mm-hmm. your thoughts and you're second guessing and you're questioning. And going through that is really important.
Yeah.
Because yeah. the people that you come across, the ones who are 3 steps behind you, are going to be questioning those same decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be looking to people like you and I for answers, for yeah. validation. Am I doing the right thing? Did I make a mistake? And they need somebody to reassure them that it's okay. It's going yeah. to be okay. Whether they win or they learn, there's never going to be a failure in the process.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So it's so fun that you made that choice and you said you did everything backwards. However, like you've come into your own at this point. Now, mm-hmm. you're still going to be making mistakes. You're still going to be questioning who you are and what you're doing. But it's so cool to see where you've landed and that the impact really is that much greater. Yeah. Whether you're making a t-shirt or not, whether you're graphic designing for an Instagram or not, mm-hmm. people look to Instagrams for inspiration. Mm-hmm. And we're constantly reminded of that. When I don't feel like posting or I go a week without saying something, I'll get like three people in a day that are like, we love your Instagram. We love coming there because you guys just give so much practical information. And I'm like, dang it, I haven't posted in a week and I'm so sorry for letting you down.
Yeah, I think that's the magic. People like the consistency of social media. Mm-hmm. They like knowing that you're going to be there talking about the latest and the greatest going on in their teen's life. And yeah, I think, yeah, there's power in that and just showing up every day and just kind of giving what you can.
Yeah. So I'm curious because I've learned about Get Your Teach On through you.
Okay.
And I saw this incredible event that mm-hmm. happened last year and I was like, whoa, this is awesome. I mean, they brought in Jesse Itzler. That guy can – he is fire. He can inspire anybody. So he's up there screaming and yelling and everybody's hooting and hollering. Right? It's like, whoa, those are teachers?
I know. Well, and I'm just curious of like, what is the aim? What's the goal of Get Your Teach On? Because – it was funny, right before we got on this podcast, I had a school counselor reach out to us around some girl drama that's happening amongst mm-hmm. sixth grade. And I'm just thinking, how else can teachers and counselors get plugged into other resources mm-hmm. to give them more skills and tools and strategies? And don't get me wrong, these teachers and school counselors already have a big job. But I also think outside of the four walls that they're in on a day-to-day basis to get plugged into a community outside of their school is so important. So just curious mm-hmm. around what is the intention, the mission behind Get Your Teach On?
So Get Your Teach On is the professional development resource conference for educators. So whether you're a coach or an administration or you're a classroom teacher, we have what you need. And we have grade level sessions that give you practical strategies, best practices to bring back to your classroom. And then we also have a lot of, especially like what you guys are referring to, our national conference, all of our like keynotes are very motivational. So we like to say we pour equal parts into the human and the educator. Mm-hmm. And you can't just have one or the other in this case. So yeah, bringing in people like Jesse Itzler and bringing in people like Eddie B for like some comedic relief. Like it's just, it really is in a sense like a big teacher celebration. We're celebrating education and what it is. But also celebrating the human behind the teacher. That's so important too. It's like a Coachella for teachers. It's pretty great.
Coachella, that's amazing.
It really is. That's like,
I love it.
The way that it is all decorated, the things that we have going on, like it is just like, that is exactly what it is. Coachella for teachers.
If we're not teachers or mm-hmm. counselors. I mean, mm-hmm. we are teachers in our own right, obviously. Is mm-hmm. there room for people like us to come to something like that? Or is it specific to school districts? What is the lay of the land there?
Definitely more catering towards teachers and educators, just because the content sessions in the grade level rooms really are tools for teachers to take back. It is for their grade level, for their subject area. But we do have an option at Nationals to just attend the general sessions. So to get the Jesse Itzler keynotes and to get the whatever musician we have there, whatever is going on, that's an option too. But I think, it's probably more geared towards educators, but.
No, that's great. No, I think that's fantastic. I think it's just such a need.
And we want to be able to promote this incredible organization to say teachers get plugged into this.
Yeah.
Because I love that you said that it's so much more than just we're going to develop you as a teacher.
Right. Because that's what
we're going to develop you as
all the professional development that we experience.
100%. Yeah. Right. That you are you first, and mm-hmm. you happen to be a teacher, mm-hmm. but we got to focus on you first. Like once your cup is full, then you get to show up as the best mm-hmm. teacher as you.
Yep.
And I think that's really important. So I love, love, love that this organization exists. And outside of nationals, what other things do you have available for teachers to get plugged into in this community?
We have lots of webinars. If anybody listening is from Indiana, tune in. They have free webinars every single month for Indiana educators. We also have a big initiative called Rock Your School, where it is one designated day a year where we encourage educators all over the world. Like we've had teachers in Australia participating. And it is a day to just kind of like show up as your best teacher self. Whatever that looks like. Some people do like elaborate room transformations and turn their room into Jumanji and come like dressed as a character. Like it's really cool. If you guys search the hashtag Rock Your School, there's so many amazing things that educators are doing. And I think it's a day to be in community with one another, because I think there is power in having like a designated day with everybody coming together. But I think it's also just a day to like bring awareness to the amazing things that teachers are doing. We're encouraging local news stations to come out and highlight what teachers are doing and just really put that spotlight on them and what education truly is. Because I think so many people are so unaware of what teachers are doing in the classroom. I think they have that like old school mentality of going to school is sitting in desks all day and copying stuff down on the board. And so I think just the whole initiative behind Rock Your School is really powerful. We do have like regional conferences. So we have one in Vegas coming up, which is kind of going to be a little mini nationals. We have another conference in Atlanta in February. And then just everything in between is just like whatever we feel we need to do for our audience, for our community.
That's awesome. That is really cool. Do they work with school districts in terms of, because I can hear teachers on the other end of this mm-hmm, going, mm-hmm. well, we already spend so much of our own money in the classroom.
Yes.
Is that footed by school districts, or are there teachers who just pay out of pocket? I'm sure there's a little bit of both.
It's a little bit of both. Yeah, it always is. Depending on your district, depending on your admin, it's all kind of up in there. That's why we were selling t-shirts. We were selling t-shirts so that we could go do this stuff, because our school at the time did not have the funds. But definitely if your school or your district does have the funds, they can do that. We also come out to schools and districts, so you can kind of book your own little mini get your teach on to come to your school, or just have speakers come out. And the cool thing about us and what we do is like they'll get in the classroom and they'll model a lesson. They'll kind of help you along the way with any struggles that you have. And I think that's so powerful, because again, so much of professional development is this is what you should be doing. And it's not really
realistic.
Right. It's not really something that a lot of people can take back and apply immediately. Right. So, yeah.
Right. Well, gosh, and I think that really ties it back to the email that Jill got this morning. And this isn't a knock on anybody who uses a box curriculum or a third party company to help teach social emotional learning, but looking at what we have in front of us as like a lesson and then getting the email about it not working, right? It's like the lessons on bullying and friendship just aren't working. These girls are still being mean to one another. They're still pointedly excluding mm-hmm. one another. It's almost a do as I say, not as I do type mm-hmm. of mentality, because it's not practical. And I think what's been so successful about our programs, our workshops, our summer camps is we're able to relate to the girl as the girl, yes. you know, the sixth grader, the seventh grader, the eighth grader, whatever it is. Like, we don't preach at them like
we
don't
part.
Understand their problems.
You gotta meet them where they're at. Yeah.
You right. have to meet them yeah. exactly where they're at, and you have to speak about things practically.
Yeah.
What are they dealing with in this moment? Because I liken it to sitting in a DARE program back in the day. Anyone listening remembers the DARE program. Honestly, like, intention was good, impact completely failed, because yes. like, it was a joke to it the kids yeah. sitting in these workshops.
Or it we was all just went around totally fear-based, which yeah. also didn't oh, yeah. it doesn't teach you it doesn't anything. Hit. Like, oh, my brain's going to look like that.
My brain's going to look like an egg. Yeah.
God.
So yep. it's interesting, because I mean, this sheet, yes, the intention, like I said, is good, but it's very impractical.
Yeah. yeah. It says, you know, and again, the Mary and I, we see such an opportunity for curriculum to advance so that it meets kids where they're at.
Yeah.
This example said, I felt upset when my favorite mug broke, but I realized I have other mugs and maybe it's time for a new favorite,
which is great. Mindset, right? We're, yeah. Listeners, if you could see her face, which you will be able to when we release this episode, right? It's a mindset shift. We get it. And it's yeah. so not relevant but to I'm what like, a fourth grader is experiencing.
Let's talk about what's really going on.
Right.
A mug breaking? No, that's not what's happening in their lives. So how do we elevate the examples so that parents aren't going to look at this and throw it away, but that it's useful.
Or think that it's useful, because right. that's part of the problem too. Because the email that we got this morning had several issues in terms of what they were facing. It was, it's not working, the talks on bullying, friendships, and we're having a hard time engaging the parents, which is an age-old issue, right? Mm-hmm. It's not a new issue. Mm-hmm. The problems have shifted and advanced due to technology and, mm-hmm. and what we're facing. But at the end of the mm-hmm. day, foundationally, it's not different. My mom had trouble engaging parents in 1994, mm-hmm.
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
So it's interesting. And I think we're afraid to have the conversations about what our fourth graders are really talking about, because Jill has a fourth grader, which is why she has this curriculum in front of her. And they're not talking about mugs breaking. They're talking about things that are like, oh, my son would never, not my kid. And that's the root of the issue. Right. We don't want to have these conversations because we're afraid of what it makes us look like.
Oh, that is like, oh, just got yeah. goosebumps. Yeah, like yeah. that is – and that is like one of my biggest struggle as a parent. It's like, why is nobody actually talking about the real things that are going on? Why do I feel so alone in my struggles? Like, this, it can't just be me. I hear my right. kid talking to his friends. I hear them raging as they're playing video games. I'm like, it's not just me. Why are we just all pretending like this isn't happening?
Yeah.
So,
well, and I think these parents, or excuse me, I think the teachers, to have somebody come in to support them and model a lesson mm-hmm. just to be like, man, okay, mm-hmm. they gave me the confidence to maybe say something that I would have not said, but it made a mm-hmm. greater difference or impact on these mm-hmm. kiddos, because teachers need to be supported. And I also think we're living in such a, and schools are, it's very political. You mm-hmm. you can't say the wrong thing, or God forbid you're gonna, you know,
wind
someone's gonna
over TikTok.
Someone's gonna come at you mm-hmm. in the administration, the parents. We understand. But I was telling Mary today that it is, change happens systematically.
Yep.
That one conversation that, you know, these
teachers and counselors are having with these students, it's going to go through one ear and out the other unless mm-hmm. it is a cultural shift.
Yeah,
and
it's a practice.
And we see the value in bringing an organization like Get Your Teach mm-hmm. On or other organizations to come in and systematically help support the culture. Mm-hmm. Because if nothing changes, nothing changes. Nothing changes. And I don't think my kid's going to be talking about a broken mug. Like,
no.
I want the teachers to feel supported. I mm-hmm. want the administration to feel like parents support what they're, you know, as far as consequences go, or telling them the real truth. Like, I want to give them permission to be like, hey, I got your back, but unfortunately, we're living in such a weird world where parents are like, careful, not my little Johnny, not my little Susie. And it's like, man, we're damned if we do and we're damned if we don't.
Yep, I feel that.
Well, and the consequences are, like, just to be completely real, Jill's child in fourth grade is coming home and talking about 69. So that's where we're at.
Yeah.
We're so yep. far beyond a broken mug conversation. Yep. But yep. the concept, like, I get the mindset.
Right.
So let's have the conversation about mindset, but we have to attach it to what these kids are actually dealing with, mm-hmm. which, again, is why I felt like the DARE program, the conversation around don't do drugs, was mm-hmm. so out of touch. Mm-hmm. So it's like I'm 35 now. That was – I remember having those in sixth grade. So mm-hmm. we're 20 years removed from that, yet we haven't advanced as a culture to understand that this is what our kids are dealing with, and they're learning about these things whether you want them to learn about them or not is ridiculous.
So frustrating. It is so frustrating.
It is cool. I mean, really full circle to see that you had such an incredible impact on your students in the classroom, but working with an organization that is trying to make systematic change mm-hmm. has such a bigger ripple effect. Yeah. And no, it might not be the instant gratification of getting to hug a first grader because yeah. that is, I mean, unlike anything ever. Yeah. And I think that's where we're at in terms of an organization as well. We have loved doing our monthly workshops mm-hmm. and our summer camps, but we realize that we're only able to impact X amount of girls per year, and yep. how do we look at it differently to where yep. we're reaching out to bigger organizations? We are creating curriculum that teachers can practically use and counselors can practically use in their classrooms yeah. in order to make that change rather than just impacting that classroom of 30, because right. we want to make that ripple effect mm-hmm. seen, heard, felt, so other people aren't drowning the way this email made it felt like they were drowning.
Yeah. I love everything you guys are about. I'm so excited to like be connected with you guys to see where you guys keep going, because this is going to be huge. I feel like I really could have benefited from you guys when I was little. So thank you for all the work that you do.
Well, we appreciate that. Thank you. It means the world to us to know that we have community just supporting us in so many areas of the world, truly. And we see the power that this mission has mm-hmm. and it's partnering and collaborating with brands and businesses like yours as well to know that we're better together.
Yeah, 100%.
Awesome. Well, Sarah, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. We will link all of the goodness in the show notes where people can find you. Check out your cutie little Instagram because, man, it is so good, you guys. And until next time, everyone, thanks for tuning into What's the Lesson. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Thanks so much for tuning into What's the Lesson.
If you're feeling the same I can do anything attitude that we are, here's how you can keep the momentum going.
Spread the good vibes. Share this episode with your friends, family, or give us a shout out on your social media.
Fancy a trip to iTunes Town? We're all ears for your ratings and reviews. Seriously, we read each one of them. Your thoughts are like gold to us.
Lastly, let's be friends. Hang out with us on social media for more awesome content and behind-the-scenes action.
And until we meet again, remember our golden rule. Turning those WTF moments into WTL moments is a superpower.
Practice is always progress,
and you've got this.